Stocks, good morning.
Corey,
Yes, please.
Happy New Year.
Happy almost New Year to you as well.
You know you're my favorite guy. But
Dear.
you know I'm a billionaire ego today. And I still tell you I love you though. I'm sort of confused, very confused. Confused to the point, maybe I read too much. Maybe I am a human being with faith of steel. And you know the woman just now said that the elderly are stubborn, and set in their ways and they can be difficult. But everybody believes in what they want to believe in. Everybody agrees in what they want to agree with. And there's a lot of stuff that I don't agree with, but you know, you go along. But what have me a bit confused is that I have been reading up about this PCR testing, how inaccurate it is, and how the bigger countries dumped it because it has proven not good enough. And they have other probably means of technology to do testing. This PCR testing have been causing a lot of confusion with many people, and it really have me a bit, concerned. Now they're telling us that they want to send people into the community, into your private homes, which I personally think is unacceptable, because I don't know if I would want to let in strangers in my house, and I'm getting calls from people saying they're going to let go of their pit bulls. I hope that they're not going to send these teams into danger because they've got real ignorant people who will let out the pit bulls. One woman says she can put her two pit bulls at the gate. I mean, all sorts of different things. And I hope they don't put their medical teams, whoever they're going to send to people's homes, put their lives at risk because COVID is one thing, but like when is COVID done, like we ain't even have a tourism. You know, like like everything and done with tourism. You know, and I just pray, I just hope that everyone concerned would pay a little attention. And I am not against a shutdown. I am not against protocols if the protocols are fair. People who have flat salaries and expect their checks every month and are sure of their paychecks or have money put down, you know, it's fine for them. But what about the small business people who, when they shut down the malls again, I had a woman who have a store in the mall. She's hysteria. Oh my God, are they going to shut down again? The last shutdown exhausted every penny of my savings. I feel as if I was losing my mind. If they shut down again, she says I can hardly pay the rent because of the curfew hours, shorter hours, less people coming in the malls. So by the time the next shutdown, the whole mall might close down because people can't keep up with their rents. They can't keep up with their commitments. Many people have lost their cars. Their cars get repossessed. People losing their houses. I mean, this lockdown thing is sort of okay in one way and destructive in another. And it's okay for people who have money and who are sure of their paychecks at the end of the month to sit back and talk a whole bundle of nonsense. But people with small businesses are depending on that, who are self-employed and are depending on that little money they're making or whatever to eat, to pay their bills. The government said they can help them, but a young man just called and says, oh, there's like how much money he lost. And he's up to now, he ain't getting the money for that, and they said they were to give people money. But it's okay for, you know, the government to come out and say that they can pay you, but then when? While you're waiting for their money, you dying from hunger?
Ma'am,
Corey.
let me jump in here. Let me jump in here. I started at the program saying, in all things, let there be moderation. On the far left, there may be this whole idea of panic, you know, and, you know, whipping people into a frenzy, you know. On the far right, you may have this don't care attitude, COVID don't exist, why wear masks, why pay for testing, why do this, why. I would like for me persons to rest in where I believe to be the best spot, which is in the middle, where we have comprehensive communication, we have comprehensive protocols, and we have respect for each other's opinion. Now, in listening to you, I can look over in my chat, I can look over in my WhatsApp, and I can see people doing the dog. Why these people this? Why these people that? Blah, blah, blah. These are people's genuine fears. A lot of fears come from ignorance. A lot of people are ignorant, and not in the derogatory sense, but in the sense of the trueness of the word, not knowing. Not even the professionals, the doctors, and the experts have conquered and know all there is to know about COVID-19, coronavirus 19. So let me pause a minute. Let me reason, as I say. Today we reasoning. So let me look about this whole thing about money. A lot of people and the whole idea is small business, and somebody in me that's not a capitalist. I know the capital. I don't speak capitalist talk. So there's running a lot of problems with the capitalists on this. The whole idea about making all this profit and money and all of this, remember that you can't eat the money. Your basic need is food, and we spoke about the whole idea of, and yes, I know that's not the original theme of you can't eat the money, but literally, you don't get nutrition or belly full from eating the money. What you need is food and shelter. And what I believe that the authorities need to do is to ensure that the population has food and shelter, because this too shall pass. I will pull a piece of paper from across my desk and inform Barbados that it is my understanding that there is a plan post-COVID to ignite the economy in a way by making sure that major projects are starting. I enter that into the debate, not just for false hope, but for true hope. But in the meantime, this is a pandemic, and we will not be in the markets, the vendors, or workplace making the same amount of money, says that man that got money, but I don't. That's the first thing I want us to understand. That food will be provided and we will live. That is our basic necessity. Okay? Good. Now, on the other side, on the point of testing, people want to know here, hey, you can pull people off of the streets and test. Well, you don't encourage people in these thoughts about testing and so on. Listen, I know how this country works. Anytime we have to get a mass exercise, you are talking about 300 polling districts. Do you think that they are going to find 300 professionally trained people or people that train and can follow the protocol to a T? No, it don't work. And I have lived in this system long enough to know that somebody can come and ask me. I can tell my cousin, look, come along, got a little $50 here, get ready there. Come and go and sit down in training, even if you sleep or play some bubble game on your phone. I know this thing is work. And it is right for the person who has these fears to ask the question and the authorities to do two things. One, it is for them to come and say, these are the mechanisms. And two, to ensure when they are training that they emphasize, re-emphasize, and put monitoring mechanisms in place to ensure that the protocols are followed as we go to the 300,000 people in this country. And that is what we are doing. That is it. Now, one of the other things that I want us to understand is that we have to be respectful and mindful that there are differing views, some genuine and some malicious. When you hear people talk, oh, pit bulls and all that, that may be their fears. Now, you may see it as utter nonsense, rubbish, and garbage. But if that is their fear, that is their fears. Now, I don't want us to use brass tacks as a platform to elevate the nonsense. But we must be in a position to hear from people and respectfully say, ma'am, I beg to differ. And for the authorities, more importantly, to come to the forum when they got the press conferences, when they call in or whatever, to say, listen, we thought about this and this is what we're doing. We did not think about that and this is what we're going to do. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to everyone who's within my voice. I find it that everybody is watching this, what is it called, Prophet or something so. But I realize that dengue is the one fever that is dangerously approaching on us, and not people seem to be serving a lot of attention to it. But I know of two brothers who have just come down with it. Very close together. and they don't have no big law much around their house. So I was wondering how that this dengue can be so, and these people don't live in bush.
Dengue is one, obviously, we have to address. This is something I don't think that we should be battling with at this
yeah.
time. But again, doctors
say so, because I just called the doctors about it, and the doctors said the same thing, that it is very dangerous, and they have to pay some attention to it, because it's two brothers that come down with it, and nobody's in, they're not living in any bushy area.
No,
I don't know, and I can tell you,
it's not only bushy areas. Once you got the Aedes aegypti mosquito breeding and any kind of
but you see, around the house is clean. They don't have the containers in the bottles, nothing like that. The containers in the bottles.
You know, all the
but I believe it coming from somebody else in the area.
Right, that's possible too. But do you know all the areas where mosquitoes breed?
I would say in water and in areas that water settles and so on. That's where it's piled up from. But this is something where the two brothers come down with it. And
listen, when we had chikungunya and there was another one, there was dengue, chikungunya was the third one. Somebody help me. But we had some specialists on from the Ministry of the Environment. And they went through, I think we went through about three programs. They were so educational. Some of the concrete blocks you have in fencing, mosquitoes breeding there.
Anyway, that little water concern.
Yeah, so sometimes we worry about the old topsy and the old dog pan that we got in the yard. And sometimes we forget the guttering on top of the roof. Sometimes we forget the concrete blocks of the guard wall.
Yeah.
So there are many places, a bottle cap under the quarter hedges you got in front of your house. So sometimes we forget that we don't only have to have a pail of water or settling water to have these mosquito problems. You have to eliminate it from everywhere. It has to be a concerted effort throughout the year, and not only when people start to die from dengue. I thought we had passed this with the chikungunya phase. We saw a drastic reduction. But again, just like the abstinence I spoke about, just like the immune system I spoke about, we have to be constantly reminding. And I think it's better from young we teach this and this become a way of life as opposed to a pop-up campaign every time we have a problem, because we will return to this very spot every single time.
I understand. Anyway, well, thank you very much. But I just want people to be aware of it, because I live in an area where there's no big law bush, no big law water, nothing. So, but
as you see, they're
very close to me.
The other thing too, all the paper bags. You know, we do a lot of littering. That's one of the reasons why I emphasize with my young people about littering. It's about flooding, yes, but it's also about breeding rodents and mosquitoes. And you know, sometimes we as a people, we too stink, we too dirty. Put the things in the bin and let go to the thing, man. You know what I mean? Just you know, we throw these things and so somebody can clean it. But no, a mosquito can breathe in, it can bite you or your family, and you can know, and you will know what God you're serving. And talk about God you're serving. This thing with COVID, I believe COVID is a Christian, because I've heard at least two people who say they don't believe in God, they don't pray, that they're praying now. So I think COVID has definitely brought people to a Christian understanding, and that is at least it could save the Christians to say one positive thing about this epidemic. Brastax, good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, good morning, yes. Zika, right? That's the other one. Thank you very much. Zika. Good morning, audio. Hi, Mama, I was hearing you just now. Continue.
Hello.
Yes, please. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm talking through a mask, but I'm in public. But what I was saying is that when the people come to your house, they don't have to come in your house. They can stay by, you know, outside a distance and ask if anyone is sick or not feeling well. And if the person indicate that they're not well, then they could tell the person's name and probably do, you know, get a van to collect them and carry them to a clinic or whatever. So they don't necessarily have to come in your house. That's my opinion.
I love it.
You know.
I thank you. Bless your heart.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying 100%.
Right. Thank you. Because we got to try to do something. Every time you try to bring something, you know, there's always some issues, and you got to do something. Thank you, sir.
Correct, correct. Now, before we go off on this back and forth, the question have been answered, and we will wait for it to be answered. I don't want people, again, getting hysteria. Oh, people come in your house. No. Let me leave that one there. Any other opinion you have on the door-to-door testing or whatever, feel free to raise it. Because one thing I agree, at least with the people on chat, is that we need to get the information. Now, the information have been called for, and let's put that to bay. We will get the information. Other than that, you see somebody coming at you house and the air sit tomorrow, even if they're coughing and sneezing and then you left them out in the road. Yeah. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We go to the lines. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you, Corey, and good afternoon to everybody who can hear my voice.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Great. Now, pertaining to the mosquitoes, just give me a hearing, right? Now, you can have communities that clean the area, let's say 30, 40 houses in a radius. They're clean, they don't have no bush, etc., whatever. But what a lot of us are not looking at there are your house roof, the galvanized, the guttering. Sometimes when the wind blows, and you have trees, dust, debris, it blows in the air, toward with the wind, settles in your guttering. Could be plastic, could be tree leaves, whatever. When the rain falls, the gutter still works, but because of those little debris, it forms a little blockage. Whereas that when you are not having rain, you still have water in your guttering. Mosquitoes only have a certain amount of time to lay the eggs in that, and they do breed, and it do happen. Another thing too, wells. We look at wells, but I'm not speaking about the wells that you will have for your house. I'm looking at the wells in the community. You will find they have a grill. We're supposed to stop certain big debris from going into the well. However, you will find one or two persons in the community may see this well, got a little blockage. Rather than they get a shovel and move it away, they will tend to hit. There's a little guard rail, a couple of them. They may hit them or try to widen them so they can get the stuff going down the well so it won't block the well and next time the rain fall. By doing that, what happens, the bottles before covers, corned beef tots, sardine tots, all those type of things goes into the well. When the rain is not falling, the water that have accumulated before, some of those containers do keep holding water and the mosquitoes go into them and breed. Now, we don't have persons coming around spraying the wells anymore like they used to, but that does happen. Now, when you're going up to some polyclinics, polyclinic is supposed to be clean around the surrounding areas and whatnot. But if you sit down for a couple of minutes waiting, you will find you have to be hitting yourself. Why? Mosquitoes around you. When you go to your family or friends or any other place, you must realize that because you clean around your place and you figure that you do not catch dengue or whatever, you don't, when you go out, you can get a mosquito bite in the daytime that give you the same rating, and you can go back home and you'll be saying to yourself, well, wrong me clean, I don't know how I get it. I want everybody to understand what I'm saying, and because these things do happen. And the last thing, even the gutters on the road, when debris is indoors and the water don't flow, it do hold water also. Mosquitoes go into those gutters when the rain is not falling for a period of time. They lay, they breathe, and mosquitoes come to that same very gutter that we normally have on our normal roads. So there's a lot of these things that are happening. Simple plastic bags around the area that you may not really pay any attention. Anyway, that's my contribution, Corey.
I want to thank you for that. And it was actually discussing this during the break. And reminded that the dengue mosquito likes clean water. Bites in the day, not in the night. They're different mosquitoes, different viruses, different diseases. And I think it is about time that we bring back the experts in the topic who helped us so good about 2 years ago when we had the chikungunya, the Zika, and all of that, to remind Barbadians about the water behind the fridge. Those, you still have that, those water, the fridge we grill behind that catch the water. As you said, the roof defects. There's some places, you know, we look at the places that capture the eye. But there are many other places, and I think it is time that we re-educate and remind Barbadians where to look. So we have this campaign to eradicate this dengue mosquito. Rastas, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Corey. I was wondering if I could raise a couple points about the COVID pandemic with you. First of all, I want to applaud the government for their move to lock down the island. I know a lot of people may be opposed to that, but I do think that it is a necessary move. I don't think it needs to be a doom and gloom move for Barbados economically. In fact, I think as independent thinkers, we as Barbadians have a unique opportunity to actually take this and turn it into a really big positive. A year ago in April, we presented to the government and some PSs and whatnot, some options that we had in Barbados. One of those was, in fact, testing all the people coming into Barbados with rapid tests, and I'm glad that they're moving in that direction. Another one was going house to house in Barbados and testing people with rapid tests. I also thought that it's a great opportunity to update our demographics, our boundaries and voting commissions, like who's going to be on a voters list, things to get census data and all of that. So it's a wonderful opportunity going door to door to update our data and demographics on our population, find out who lives in what household, what they buy, what they spend, how many people are there, and all that kind of stuff. However, it is a fantastic opportunity to test people. If we were to do that, if we seal our borders, test everybody in Barbados, we would be COVID-free. If we're COVID-free, it means that every single person goes back to school, every workplace opens fully, we don't have any shutdowns in Barbados. All that we have to do at that point is let people in that are COVID-free, and that means quarantining them properly, not just the 5 days, unfortunately, but maybe even a two-week period. At that point, they join our society, and they're then COVID-free. So nobody coming into our island has COVID at that point. And because we're monitoring and testing, we can do it. Hotels can become all-inclusive, and guests don't even need a quarantine. They can come into the airport, get into the special buses that are sealing off our drivers, taken safely to the hotel, and they can walk around the hotel with their COVID or whatever they want to do and enjoy our beaches and our food and our lovely island. Our staff at the hotel, their protocols that they would have, and we would test them and we'd have two-week rotations with them and all kinds of stuff. But there's a way to get out of this economically that makes a lot of sense. We would be one of the few COVID-free countries in the world, and with people still going through this pandemic, the reality is Barbados economically will be booming again. Hotels will still be able to pick up. Some hotels will stay for staycations and local people only, and they can still do all the weddings, funerals. Everything can go on with regular numbers. Nightclubs can open. Everything can open. I don't see why we can't do this, and this is a perfect opportunity to do it, going back into lockdown and going back into a house-to-house roving testing, right? So it's something I want to share. It's something I wanted to the Barbados public to start thinking. And the government in Barbados start thinking, I think we've been looking at this thing really as the big countries are looking at it, which is, you know, limp along when we don't have to do that. The beauty of being an island and a small island state is that we can totally test everyone in our island, get us COVID-free, and keep us COVID-free. There's really no need to limp along. I don't see it. Maybe I'm missing something, but the logic would dictate if we get everybody COVID-free, we can keep them COVID-free. And, you know, we don't have to lock down our borders in terms of goods coming into the island, all that. The ports are open. Goods can come in. There's, you know, there are ways and protocols of dealing with these things, whether it's UV lights in containers, around containers.
Yeah, but Corey, if we don't contain them coming in, then locking down or not, they're going to still spread. You got to contain the cases that are coming in.
And you do. You do. You move anybody entering our society, which is different than going to a hotel. Anybody joining our society would have to go through a proper quarantine. Again, maybe not the 5 day. I don't think that's appropriate. That can be discussed and argued. But really, it should be a two-week quarantine where they're tested, two negative PCR tests before they're released, and then they join our society. But I guarantee you there are people out there around the world that are fed up of a lockdown that would flock to Barbados, do their 2 weeks, and enter our society, because in our society, we would then be completely mask-free. There's no need for sanitization. There's no need for guards and extra people at buildings and low flow into offices. Everything opens up. Schools open. Churches are back in full swing. Nightclubs are in full swing. Everything opens because there's no COVID in Barbados. And it's something that's very easy to do if you lock down, get rid of COVID, and stop it from coming in. It can only come in one way. It's not going to, it doesn't spontaneously happen, right? It
has in the beginning, what you said is very important, what we do when we press play again from the pause. Because if we press play and do what we were doing before, we will find ourselves right back at this very position that we are
absolutely
in.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other thing that I am a little cautious about is what is called the false negative. Because once we get some false negatives, I think we will have to give it a little time to show where is what. Because if we get the false negatives that are really positives as we open back fully, again, that may cause some problems. But I'm sure that taking that into consideration, we can make sure that the protocols take that into consideration and we operate to suit. So,
absolutely.
Good call.
What I would say to you, sir, is if you're testing the entire island, 300,000 people are being tested with a rapid test. Any positive from there, you would then follow up with contact tracing and a PCR. It will identify the people that are out there that have COVID, right? Because you're doing the whole island, you're right. If you were just doing some people with the testing and so on, you will miss people. And that's the beauty of being a small island. America cannot do this. Canada cannot do this. No one in EU can do this. They have open borders and they have massive populations. Barbados is 300,000 people. We can buy 300,000 tests. It's very easy. It's about $6 a test. We can test every single person in Barbados in one go. And again, because we're recording that data, if I have COVID today and I don't show up on a test, the truth is I had to get it from someone. So when you go back then to your contact tracing and your PCR, those people that are positives, you will find all the people that don't. You're also in a lockdown, which gives the virus an opportunity. And maybe a 2-week is not enough, maybe a 4-week. That can be argued and discussed. But I agree with you. The key is to hit the reboot button, reset button. Start us back from zero. Lock down our borders, get us to zero, and then control who comes into our society. As long as that person entering our society is completely COVID-free, we will have no infection, period. And we can move on in our society. We would be a beacon to the world and the rest of the Caribbean islands and small island developing states how to move forward in a COVID or any pandemic going forward, which we will have more of. It's our future. I don't think, you know, we should be naive enough to think this is never going to happen again. But again, it is something that I think needs to be discussed rapidly. The opportunity is here as we're going back into lockdown because this is the time to do it. And but I really do hope that people start looking and thinking outside the box. The pandemic is not something that requires regular thinking because look at the world. You know, regular thinking has gone us nowhere. I applaud the organizations like WHO and PAHO and all of those. Great. But they're behemoths and they're politically motivated in certain ways and they move too slowly. As an independent country where we've produced superstars in every field, there's absolutely no reason why we can't beat this thing and show the world how to do it. And I'm confident that we could do that. I think we have the resources.
But
Yes, sir.
Epidemiologist said, Dr. Williams, the president of BAMP, said this morning, there's no textbook on COVID. So from country to country, they're doing different things. We have the opportunity now to look to see like best practices and what's working, what's not. Like, for instance, this whole idea of the variant, there wasn't a textbook to read down on page 26 and see that after 6 months, there will be this South African and UK variant. So these are things that are thrown into the mix. And I believe that this is what will truly test leadership across the world in terms of the ability to understand your culture, your communities, your entire country, the mechanisms, the protocols, the people, and act to suit. The whole idea of acting. One of the most difficult things I believe for leaders in terms of listening and consulting is that sometimes you don't know if someone is opposing for opposing, say, for again, a political or even a financial motive, or if they this is what they genuinely think. I think one of the things that had the last administration in problems is that the opposition was so loud. And at one point in speaking with them one-on-one behind the scenes, they thought that all opposing voices were really just opposition voices, opposition as in BLP opposition voices, and not that people were genuinely concerned with certain things that happen in the society. Now, right across the world, you have to have something called wisdom and discernment, meaning that you will have a lot of advice, a lot of advisors, a lot of commentators, a lot of armchair experts. But at the end of the day, the decision, after listening, consulting, and so on, the decision, the hard part, that lays with you. And you have to be able to make that decision. So going forward, hearing all these comments, it is what do we do going forward?